Thank you for joining us here at Life Church. It's an honor to share God's word with you today. Our prayer is that you will connect with Jesus Christ as you hear his word online. We'd love to have you visit one of our upcoming gatherings. For more information, visit us online at www.liferva.org or contact our church offices and we'll be happy to help you in any way that we can. Let's go now to one of our recent services where you can experience a life-giving message from God's word.
Let's go to the word of God today. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Amen. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. I want to read that verse this time from the New Century Version. It says, where God's love is, there is no fear. Amen? Because God's perfect love drives out fear. It is punishment that makes a person fear, so love is not made perfect in the person who fears. Contemporary English Version said it this way, a real love for others will chase those worries away. Amen? God's love drives out fear. Amen? Now, fear. Everybody say fear. Fear is something, you know, that we all deal with. Fear comes from a lot of different places, comes from a lot of different sources in our life. For example, failure, having experienced failure in your life could cause you to walk in fear. Rejection can cause you to live a life of fear. Isolation can cause you to live a life of fear. But one of the most common sources of fear in our lives is something that we don't often think about. And that's guilt. Everybody say guilt. Guilt. See, a lot of our fears are rooted in guilt, condemnation. Now, you might not make that connection, but there are many fears that come from a place of guilt. And I want to preach to you today this message, greater than by guilt. God's love is greater than my guilt. You see, guilt comes from many sources. The fear maybe that I'll get caught, or the fear that I'll be rejected by others, the fear that someone might retaliate for something I've done in the past, the fear that God is going to always judge me. There's a lot of things that can produce guilt in your life. Now, I don't know about you, but I love to take trips. But one trip that is never fun is a guilt trip. Amen? Nobody likes to go on those trips. And here's the good news, though. You don't have to go on a guilt trip the rest of your life. You don't have to live on a guilt trip. You don't have to live under a cloud of guilt because God's love is greater than your guilt. Amen? Now, see, the problem with guilt, though, is when we don't handle it the right way. What do I do with the guilt or the fear or the condemnation that I might be dealing with in my life? Is there something that is greater than my guilt? So today I want to talk to you about three things. I want to tell you what do we usually do with our guilt? What should we do with our guilt? But then ultimately, what does the Lord do with our guilt? Amen? Is that all right? Now, first of all, how do we usually handle our guilt? And I'm just going to tell you, we don't usually handle it the right way. Let me tell you three of the most common ways that we tend to typically deal with our guilt or our fear or our condemnation. Here's the first one. Are you ready? We try to bury it. Amen? Everybody say we bury it. At least we try to. And we do it in a lot of different ways. Have you ever heard anybody say, you've just got to bury your past? You ever heard anybody say that? Well, here's a problem with that. It doesn't work. It doesn't work just to bury it, amen? It's like some bad horror movie where, you know, the people are running around and they keep thinking that they've killed the monster or they've gotten rid of the villain, and then all of a sudden it pops back up, right? It just keeps coming back to life. It keeps wreaking havoc, amen? Guilt has a way of resurrecting itself no matter how many times you think you've buried it. If you haven't dealt with it in the proper way, those guilty feelings will come back and they will overwhelm you again and again and again. Amen. Now, you might not consider it burying my guilt, But we've got different ways that we bury our guilt and don't deal with it. Here's one of them. You know what we do? Some of us minimize our guilt. Everybody say minimize. Oh, it's no big deal. You know, it's really not that big of an issue. You know, everybody else deals with this. Everybody else has done this. It's really not that big of a deal. Well, let me ask you this. If it's not that big of a deal, why is it still bothering you? Amen? If it's not that big of a deal, why are you still dealing with it 20 years later? See, minimizing is a way of burying our guilt, and it does not work. Here's another way that we deal with it. We try to rationalize our guilt away. Amen? Everybody's done it. It's not that big of a thing. Stop making something out of nothing. I had good justification maybe for what I did. Folks, but none of those things make it right. Amen? Rationalize can become rational lies. Don't miss that. Rationalize can become rational lies. In other words, we rationalize things and we start telling lies to ourselves to justify some of the stuff that maybe that we're still dealing with or we have not yet dealt with. Amen? Rationalizing means I'm continuing to tell myself something in my mind that I probably know is not true in my heart. It's a battle between your mind and your heart, and you're trying to convince yourself that something is okay. It's really not that big of a deal when it's not. Here's another wrong way that we try to bury our guilt. Are you ready? We compromise. Everybody say compromise. Pastor, I thought you were going to talk a nice little friendly message on Friend Day about loving friends and being a good neighbor. See, I want to help somebody today. Some of us, we've been going through stuff for years, decades, and we haven't dealt with it properly yet. I want you to know, nobody has to leave this room today on a guilt trip. Amen? But see, we compromise. How is compromising bearing guilt? Because sometimes if we feel bad about something, if we just lower the bar or lower our standards, the guilt goes away. What used to bother me, if I lower the bar, it just doesn't bother me anymore. Amen? That's not healthy. Amen? Compromise repeatedly happening in your life will cause you to eventually dilute your values and ultimately lose your integrity. Amen? That's searing your conscience. Here's what Proverbs 28:13 says. People who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. Now, don't miss that verse. Notice what it says. Leave it up there for just a second. It says, if you what? Confess and turn from them. That's not one thing. That's two things. Come on. Confession is not just saying I'm sorry. Repentance is not just saying I'm sorry. Repentance means I've also got to what? I got to turn away from whatever it is that I'm confessing. That's how you deal with sin. You can't just bury it. You can't bury your guilt. You can't bury your fear. Amen. Burying guilt does not work. Amen. So here's the second way that we deal wrongly with our guilt. Are you ready? Number two, we blame others. Sometimes we deal with our guilt by blaming other people. Now, I know it seems like people are doing this now more than ever, but folks, here's the reality. This has been going on since the beginning of time. You open up your Bible, and the very first book, they start blaming. Amen. Clear back in the Garden of Eden, Adam sinned, and he blamed his wife. Now, we don't talk about this a lot, but Adam didn't just blame his wife. Adam pointed his finger in two directions. Here's what he said. He said, the woman that you gave me. Yeah, Adam went there with God. Yeah, God. Yeah, you gave her to me. So whose fault is this, really? Yeah. Blaming others. I know none of y'all have ever done that before. Amen. How convenient it is. Think about it, though, folks. How convenient it is to not only blame other people, but when we can also blame God. Yeah. Right? People have been doing it ever since. I've said this before, but do you know how the word blame is spelled? Be lame. I know that's really high knowledge. I know you got to write that down to remember it. Be lame. That's what we're doing when we're always blaming other people. we're being lame. What do I mean? If you're not accepting responsibility, you're being lame. Everybody in this room is not upstairs in the kindergarten through fifth grade, right? We are all old enough to take responsibility. Somebody clap with me, my Lord, for our actions. See, we're great at excusing ourselves and accusing other people. Why do we do this? Because I'll tell you why. When we do this, we're trying to balance out our guilt. It's like scales, right? You know, on this side, I've got my sin, I got my guilt, I got my issues, and I got this scale, and it's pointing up in the wrong direction. It's like a seesaw, you know. You've seen those things. Somebody's sitting on one end of a seesaw. And you know what we do? We start trying to blame other people, blame God, blame our circumstances. We're throwing things on the other side of the seesaw because we want to balance this thing out so we can feel a little bit better about ourselves. That doesn't work. Sometimes you can't just blame other people. You can't blame God. Look what Proverbs 19:3 says, folks. This is strong medicine. People's own foolishness ruin their lives. But in their minds, they blame the Lord. I remember one time praying with somebody. It was an older gentleman, and he was mad at God because God had not healed him of his lung cancer, but he had smoked his entire life. Can I just talk real talk, right? We get mad at God, but it was our own actions that got us where we are. Or we get mad at God because we're broke, but our whole life we've not been handling our money right. We get mad at God because we got to take cholesterol and blood pressure medicine at age 50, but we've lived our whole life eating candy corn and Krispy Kremes. Amen. Now, listen, don't take away my candy corn and Krispy Kremes. Everything in moderation, right? But hear me, folks, we got to understand, we have to take personal responsibility for what we have in our lives. You can't always blame other people, amen? But then, what's another way that we deal with our guilt? We bury it, we blame others, but we also beat ourselves up. Another wrong way to deal with guilt. This doesn't work. Subconsciously, we start saying, you did wrong. You deserve to pay for it. What a low life loser you are. Low life loser. Triple L, baby. Amen. Right? We blame others. But hear me, folks. When you start beating yourself up continually, it will take a toll on you. It will take a toll on you. Can a guilty conscience make you sick physically? Absolutely. Can a guilty conscience make you depressed? It sure can. By the way, depression also becomes a form of dealing with guilt. I did wrong, therefore I punished myself, therefore I deserve to be depressed. And we don't do anything about it. We don't seek any help. We don't try to get answers. Can a guilty conscience cause you to set yourself up for failure? Yes, it can. Because then you begin self-sabotaging behaviors. I don't deserve to succeed. I don't deserve that promotion. I just need to step back. And you are sabotaging yourself. Amen. Guilt's got an amazing way of beating us down. It does. Look at what happened to David in Psalm 38. Now, this is the guy who was the man of God. He was the man after God's own heart. Listen to what David said, Psalm 38, verse 4. My guilt overwhelms me. Right there. Now, look what happens. It's a burden that's too heavy to bear. Verse 5. My wounds fester and stink because of my foolish sins. I am bent over and racked with pain. All day long I walk around filled with grief. A raging fever burns within me. My health is broken. I am exhausted and completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart. And all of this, going back to verse 4, because my guilt is overwhelming me. And I've allowed it to become a burden that's too heavy to bear. Man, listen to David's, man, these verses are kind of rough, right? I have festering wounds, back problem, racked with pain. For some of y'all, that's Monday, right? He said, I'm filled with grief, raging fever, health broken, exhausted, completely crushed, groans from an anguished heart, all from what? Guilt that overwhelms me. Folks, when we cave into our guilt, our conscience and our bodies don't always know when to quit. They keep going. and it starts taking a toll. Some of you have been beating yourself up for years or even decades over something that happened long, long ago. Maybe you've got a secret shame that you've held in your heart. You keep thinking, every time something is going wrong in my life, here it is, it's him. He's punishing me again. God's punishing me for this. Don't accept that lie from the enemy. Amen? It's time to say enough is enough. Amen. Oh, I forgot to start my timer. Got to watch that one in the back. So what should I do with my guilt? How should I handle it? By the way, the Bible gives us some real clear instructions on this. And I want to share some verses with you on how to deal with this. There is no reason you should leave here today with a guilty conscience. I'm going to say that again. There's no reason for you to leave here beating yourself up today. I'm going to give you some things that you can do. They are simple, but they're not easy. They're easy to understand, but they're not always easy to carry out. But I want you to know you can leave here a better person today. Because when your life is controlled by fear or regret or guilt, there's things that we need to do. Are you ready? Here's the first thing you need to do. You got to admit it. You got to admit it. Don't minimize it. Don't bury it. Don't ignore it. Don't push it down. Don't deny it. Own it. Admit it. Face it. This is something I'm dealing with. Maybe it was something wrong that I did, or that was maybe a sin, or maybe it was just something stupid. Maybe it was selfish. Admit it. Amen. I willfully chose this, and I've got to admit it in order for me to move ahead. See, sometimes people try to get rid of their guilt by running from it. And running, by the way, shows up. I'm not running from it. Well, you might be. It shows up in a lot of different ways. Some people run from their issues by overworking. Amen? They become workaholics. They're always trying to keep themselves busy. If I'm busy, I don't have to think about what I'm feeling. Right? But the moment you slow down, those feelings come crawling or running back in. You know, another way people try to run from their guilt, some people do it by trying to escape through drugs. Or through alcohol, right? The problem with that is you're just numbing the pain. And guess what? When you come down off of that high, the problems are still there, not to mention anything else that you've added because of your addictions and the stuff. And you talk about stuff that takes a toll on your life physically, emotionally, and on the people around you. Numbing your pain with alcohol and drugs does not work. When you can't admit that there's a problem, the Bible is pretty clear about what's really going on. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, what? We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Folks, see, we're just lying to ourselves if we can't admit the things that we've done wrong. The Bible says we're deceiving ourselves. And hear me, if you want to stop defeating yourself, you first got to stop deceiving yourself. Self-defeating behavior often comes from self-deceiving behavior. Amen? Lamentations 3 and verse 40 said, let us examine our ways and test them. Amen? And you are well on your way to authenticity and freedom and healing when you can admit the causes and the roots of the guilt in your life. Amen? But admitting, that's just the first step, right? Everybody say, I got to admit it. Then here's the second thing you got to do. You've got to accept responsibility for it. Two different things. It's more than just admitting it. It's when you go, you know what? It really was my fault. I can't just point at the woman. I can't just point at God like Adam did. Amen? I don't rationalize it. I don't say, well, it happened so long ago. I don't blame others by saying it was mostly their fault. And even if that was the case, guess what? You're the one that's carrying the guilt or the fear or the condemnation around, so you've got to deal with it. Amen? Even if it was something that was inflicted upon you that was not your fault, you can't just carry that wound around. You've got to deal with that. Look at King David. I'll give you another example from David's life. And by the way, King David, he was not all high highs and low lows. Amen? One time, King David was in his palace in Jerusalem, and he looks out and he sees a woman bathing on a rooftop. You might know this story if you don't. David had lustful thoughts about her. He brought her to the palace. Her name was Bathsheba. He committed adultery with her. She became pregnant. And then on top of that, in order to try to cover that up, David has her husband killed. I mean, this situation went from bad to worse. Until finally, ultimately, the prophet Nathan, the man of God, comes in and he confronts David about his sin. And you know how David responded? Look at Psalm 51 and verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all the iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Look what David said. I recognize my faults. I am conscious of my sins. He wasn't blaming Bathsheba. You know, Nathan laid it out. The prophet laid it all out. And you know what? He didn't say, Nathan, you weren't there. Dude, if you would have seen her. I mean, he wasn't wrath. You don't understand. I got problems at home. My marriage. No. David didn't do any of that. He didn't try to justify it. He didn't try to make excuses for it. He said, I did it, and I am conscious of my sins. By not just admitting it, though, to God, David did something that we also need to do. He admitted it to another person. You see, the Bible says that's also an essential key to your recovery. See, a lot of us, we don't think we want that level of accountability. But look what the Bible says in James 5, 16. Confess your sins, who? To each other. And pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. You need to find somebody in your life, come on, that you can be honest with. And if you don't have a friend that you can feel vulnerable with, find you a counselor that you can be vulnerable with. You got to talk to somebody about what's going on in your life. This is Bible, folks. This is how you get healed. The Word of God tells us that revealing is the beginning of healing. Revealing is the beginning of healing. You got to admit your faults to one another. Another good reason to confess to someone else is because the root of so many of our problems are relational. They are. People are dishonest with each other. They wear masks. They manipulate. We pretend that we're perfect when we're not. Amen. And when you act that way, when you live your life that way, guess what? Eventually you're going to be isolated. Because nobody wants to be around a perfect person because we're all intimidated by you. Not only that, we know you're a fraud because ain't nobody as great as you think you are. Amen. Right? Come on. You got to be vulnerable. You got to be authentic. You got to be real. Amen. And I'm not saying you got to be that way with everybody because, by the way, you can't trust everybody. But you find the right person. Everybody in the world needs at least one person in their life that they can be totally honest with and know that they're not going to be judged, that they will be accepted and challenged to do the right thing. Don't pick somebody that when you go to confess to them, they're like, yeah, man, I feel you. No, you need somebody to say, yeah, man, I feel you, I love you, but guess what? You can do better. We can do better together, amen? Let's pray about this. It's God's way of freeing us. Admit it, number one. Number two, accept responsibility for it. Number three, ask God to forgive it. Amen? Ask God to forgive it. Earlier when I said you have to admit it, I read 1 John 1 and 8. Let's read that verse, and then I want you to read the next verse. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Everybody say, and. But look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. So important. See, it's so much easier to ask God for forgiveness when we have admitted it and confessed it and accepted responsibility for it. Did you know, I'm going to be real frank with you. You know why some of us don't feel forgiven? Because we haven't truly admitted it. We haven't truly confessed it. We haven't truly dealt with the root of it. And we don't feel forgiven because we haven't gotten really vulnerable before God. Yeah. Amen? Be authentic and ask God to forgive it. Amen? You know, the scripture tells us that it allows us. Phillips translation said, he forgives our sin and makes us thoroughly clean from all that is evil. Wouldn't you like to be thoroughly clean? Hallelujah. Yeah, by the way, that doesn't mean perfect. That doesn't mean flawless. That means completely forgiven. no skeletons in my closet that somebody can point a finger at. And guess what? Even if they do point a finger, guess what? I can reject that because God has forgiven me. Amen? Did you know, even if there wasn't a place called heaven, it would be great to be a Christian just because of the clear conscience that I have before God. So how do you ask God for forgiveness? Let me tell you, there's some wrong ways. First of all, you don't have to beg God to forgive you. Amen? Please, pretty please, God, pretty please, 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 please. No, God is merciful. God is gracious. God is loving. He loves to forgive. He's more than willing to forgive. So you don't have to beg God for forgiveness, and you also don't have to bargain with God for forgiveness. God, if you'll forgive me, I'll read the Bible every day. God, if you'll forgive me, instead of tithing 10%, I'll tithe 13.5%. God, if you'll forgive me, I'll hug every tree. I'll only eat organic. I'll stop eating bacon. Amen. Oh, somebody ought to just give God a praise for bacon right now. Hallelujah. How about bacon and maple covered donuts? See, you don't have to make a bargain with God. You don't have to bargain with God. Amen. I'm just thankful that God accepts me as I am. So what's the right way to ask for forgiveness? Are you ready? It's real complicated. Just ask and believe. Just ask and believe. Oh, I love this verse, Romans 3:23. Everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Verse 24, yet God, thank God for those yet God moments, right? Yet God in his grace, what does he do? He freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Hallelujah. The most basic truth of Christianity is this. Jesus Christ paid for my sins on the cross. You simply ask him for forgiveness and accept his forgiveness, because your forgiveness is not based on what you do. It's based on what he has already done. Hallelujah. Come on, I don't have to know what you did, amen? The good news is what you did doesn't matter. What matters is what Jesus Christ has done. What he's done is greater than anything you've done. His love, his death, they are all greater than my guilt. They're greater than my fears. They're greater than my sins. And what he's done can take care of anything that you've done. Trust God and the past is forgiven. Trust God and your present is manageable. Trust God and your future is secure. Hallelujah. See, no matter what you've done, you can be forgiven. Some of you have been saying, I've asked God to forgive me, but I don't feel forgiven. I don't feel it. Some of you, even Christians, you're a believer. And you say, I still don't feel forgiven. You need to understand how God forgives. If you continually feel guilty over a sin that you've confessed from your heart, and you've really made things right, that guilt is not from God. It's from the devil. Don't forget that, amen? It's not from God. God doesn't make you feel guilty over things you've already confessed and he has already forgiven you for. Amen? That's us, and that's the enemy. Satan, the Bible says, is the accuser of us. He is the father of lies. Don't let him put that forgiveness insecurity on you. So I want to close today by telling you what the Lord does when you do ask him to take your guilt and fear and sins away. Are you ready? Here's four things that God does with your guilt. Number one, God forgives instantly. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Instantly. Isaiah 55 and verse 7, the wicked should stop doing wrong. They should stop their evil thoughts. They should return to the Lord so he may have mercy on them. They should come to our God because what? He will freely forgive them. God doesn't say, I'm going to make you suffer for a little while first. He doesn't make you wait. When you say, God, please forgive me, he doesn't go, well, let me think about that. Yeah. No, he doesn't do that, amen? The Bible says he forgives instantly. Now, should we as believers ever feel guilty? Yes, we should, right? We should, but hear me. How long should you feel guilty? This is the key. However long it takes you to admit it, accept responsibility for it, and ask God to forgive you and accept that forgiveness. No longer than that. Feeling guilty and not dealing with it does not make you humble or holy. It just makes you miserable. And you don't always be going around feeling guilty about everything either. Amen? Come on, that's not living under grace. That's another sermon for another day. God forgives instantly. Here's the second thing God does with our guilt. Number two, praise team, come on up. God forgives completely. Yeah. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God, I read earlier, yet God. Everybody say, then God. Yeah. What did he do? He made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. Verse 14, he canceled the record of the charges against us and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. We ought to give God a praise for that right now. Woo, hallelujah. When I was growing up in church, we used to sing an old song, Jesus dropped the charges. Yes, he dropped the charges, amen. And he did just that. When Jesus died for your sins, which one did he die for? Say it again. All of them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Even the ones you've been wrestling with your whole life. All of them. Even your deepest, darkest, most shameful moment. All of them. Even the one that the devil keeps trying to throw up in your face. All of them. Even the one that some of your reject family members won't let you forget about. They're the triple L's, amen. All of them. All of them. Jesus nailed it to the cross so you can stop nailing yourself to the cross. He forgives completely. Verse 14, he said he canceled the record of the charges. Let me ask you a question. How long do you usually remember a bill after you've already paid it? Whoop, that one's gone. Thank God. Let's move on to the next one. Amen. We don't, right? We forget about it. We move on. And God forgets our confessed sins. So you can too. He doesn't just say, yeah, I'm going to forgive you for this, but you know what? I'm still really kind of ticked off about what you came to me for 18 months ago. No, God, we do that. God doesn't do that, right? His forgiveness is greater than my guilt. He forgives completely. And folks, if you don't understand this, hear me. Every time something goes wrong in your life, you're going to think God's getting even with you. That's not how it works. He forgives completely. Number three, God forgives repeatedly. Anybody, I want a show of hands. This is not a trick question. Anybody ever made the same mistake more than once? Look around. It is a great cloud of witnesses. Amen? Right? See, at this point, that kind of question, that's an IQ test, right? Do you have a brain? Amen. Of course we have. We've all done that. Did you ever feel embarrassed about coming back to God? Saying, Lord, can't believe I'm talking to you about this again. Here I am. But God doesn't care. He forgives repeatedly. His grace and his mercy, they're new every morning. Amen. God still forgives over and over and over again. And then finally, the last thing God does with our guilt, God forgives freely. Hallelujah. Freely. You don't earn it. You don't bargain your way to get it. You don't negotiate to get it. You don't do enough good deeds to get it. Look what Ephesians 1 and 7 says. In Christ, we are set free by the blood of his death. And so we have forgiveness of sins. How rich is God's grace? I think you ought to give God a praise right now for that grace. Woo! I want you to stand with me all over this room. How great is the grace of God? Free, greater than my guilt. You're never going to earn it. You're never going to deserve it. It's a grace gift from God. Because you're a human being, hear me, all of us, our greatest single need is forgiveness. And Jesus paid the price so you and I would not have to. At Life Church, we like to create a time at the end of our sermon for you to respond to what you've heard. Amen? We call it an altar call. You can call it whatever you want to call it. You can do it right in your seat, or you can come up front. I do think there's something powerful about stepping out of your seat and coming forward, making a decision, putting feet on your decision, amen? It just feels a little more tangible, but you can do it right where you're standing. But today, as we close this service, I got to ask you, is there some guilt or some sin or some shortcoming or some memory that you're just haunted with? If the moment I said that, something popped in your mind, you've already thought about it. Now let's pray about it. Amen? See, nobody has to tell you. It immediately came up. That regret, that issue, that moment. But you don't have to go home today with that regret. Amen? Our praise team is going to begin to sing. And come on, yeah, that's great. We got people already coming. Amen? Why don't you step out from where you are right now and say, Lord, today, on my trip home, it's not going to be a guilt trip. It's not going to be a regret trip. Because God, I know you forgive, and you forgive freely. You give completely. You forgive repeatedly. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Come on, all over this house. Amen. Yes, God, we want that. We receive that today. Come on. Yes, God. And just ask the Lord, if you need to repent today, repent. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry of my sin. I'm sorry. And I'm thankful that I know your mercy and grace are new every morning. You forgive. Lord, I'm not going to carry this guilt. I'm not going to carry this weight. Church, yeah. Yes, and that power lives in me. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm born again.
I've been made free. I believe. Come on, you're free in Jesus' name. Yes.
That the gates of hell will not prevail. Your church is still alive and well.
Hallelujah.
I believe,
Hallelujah. Let's pray one more time. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for the men and women that are gathered in this room today, Lord. And even as a committed believer, I know sometimes guilt and condemnation and fear and all these things try to just pull me down and rob me of victorious living. Fear tries to rob me of victory. Anxiety and worry and dread. But God, your love is greater than my guilt. Your forgiveness is greater than my fear. Lord, your sacrifice was more than enough to cover my sins. And so today, Lord, I just pray, God, that as we leave this room, we will be always honest and open and vulnerable with you, God, because we know that your grace and mercies are new every morning. You hear every prayer and you cover every sin by the blood of your Son, Jesus. And for this, we're thankful. Can we give the Lord a praise together? Amen.
Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.